Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi, folks. I'm Jalene Finner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today with my co-host,
Tom Mazur.
And Tom, we are being, like you said, more purposeful, talking about change lives today.
You know, Jalene, we hear these stories being here at the ministry, but are we sharing them with our listeners?
Well, that's a good question, because if you don't get our newsletter, we almost every month have a change lives story in our newsletter. And if you'd like to get a newsletter, give us a call at 877-278-5512 so you can get these stories every month. But in the station with us today, we have one of those changed lives. His name is Mike Kampner.
How do you do?
And if you just heard that voice, you've heard that voice before, because he comes in and he does what? Some public service announcements. He does some other things for us.
Some creative spots that the Lord has placed on his heart.
Yes. So, Mike, we're glad that you're here, and we're going to hear about Mike's life. But before we do, Tom, let's have a word of prayer.
Our Father in heaven, what a blessing to be a part of the Holy Spirit using Strong Tower Radio to spread your word. We do that individually as Christians, but it's good to hear these stories that how the radio has called attention to the love of God. And be with us and our listeners as we hear this wonderful testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Tom, we have Strong Tower Radio, and on everything we talk about, and we do say this on the radio quite often, is that, you know, Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed. Because we want people to hear about God, the truth about God and his love, and how he can help people change their lives.
It's God's message. We're just proclaiming it.
Right. We're helping to spread it around the world, and especially locally. So, Mike, tell us first a little bit about you, your background. You know, were you always a Christian?
Well, I was raised in a Baptist church in Big Rapids, Michigan. My mom's staunch believer in God. In fact, I have her Bible, and if you pick it up, the pages literally fall out of it, and it's filled with notes, and half the Bible's underlined. And that was my mother's approach, was just Bible, Bible, Bible. So that was kind of the way we thought, well, at least I thought, that if you're going to talk about God, it should be about the Bible. Well, like all kids, 15, 16 years old, I hit the road in a different direction and didn't turn back for a long time.
Because maybe this is how a lot of kids think, that's my parents' God. You know, that's, I did what they wanted me to, but I personally didn't know God. So that's kind of, not that you never stopped.
I didn't have a personal relationship with God, if that's what you're asking, no.
But you still believed in God. I mean, there is a God.
Yes, I always believed in God. In fact, I probably bought a dozen books over the years just trying to find out more, because I had a tough time reading the Bible. All I had was a King James, which is sometimes hard to interpret. And once you realize that it also takes the help of the Holy Spirit to make you understand what the Bible's talking about, you understand why a lot of it isn't interpretable by most everybody, I guess.
I'm glad you brought that up, because so many times people don't know. They're searching. And so they open up the Bible and they start reading. But folks, before you start reading, please always pray. Ask God to send the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and understanding of what you're reading. Because that's what you just said. You could read it, but you didn't understand it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there were some things you understood, but I mean, read Daniel or Revelation. Sorry, I'm often left field on those without the help. So,
there was a number of years. How many years you were? You had a conversion. You had a baptism at 12 years old. 15, you turned your back on that. How long were you wandering away from the Lord?
Until I was in my 60s.
Okay, so about 45 plus years.
Yep.
And so let's talk about that experience. How did things turn around?
Well, I was actually working at McGuire's Golf Course. Up here in Cadillac, yep. And everybody wore these headsets that had a radio in them. And I was just listening to whatever I could listen to and trying to get above the noise of the mowers. And one of the guys there said, "Have you ever listened to Ranger Bill?" He said, I said, "No, I've never even heard of it." He says, "Well, I'll show you how to get it." So he dialed in my radio so I could get the station.
Which happened to be 91.9. Which happens to be one of the Strong Tower radio stations.
So he said, "It's kind of corny, but it's good too." So I started listening to it. It was on at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and we were out mowing grass at 7 in the morning. So, you know, you'd be listening to it, and then it'd be over, and I'd flip the station over to something else.
To your regular secular
station. To whatever it was I listened to, sometimes Bob and Tom, sometimes some music station. And one day it was real busy, and I could not even think about changing a radio station.
What do you mean it was busy?
A lot of golfers.
Oh,
there were a lot of people on the golf course, and I was mowing greens, and so I have to get on a green, mow it, and get off the green so these people can play. So I didn't turn my radio station. Well, as luck would have it, all of a sudden I get Bible Answers Live. And he got a call, and they asked a question about the Sabbath, which I had had questions about as a young person, and he answered the question from the Bible. I thought, well, that was interesting, and I just kept going, left the radio on, and the next thing you know, I'm listening to, I think his name is Cameron DeVasier. I think it's DeVasier. And he did a 24-part series on Daniel and Revelation. Well, that had me. Well, that was end-time prophecy. That was some of the stuff I had questions about as a young person. Didn't understand a word of it then, and he made it so clear. And I went home and I said to my wife, Kathleen, I said, "I think it's time we start going to church, and we're going on Saturday." And she said, "Oh, okay." Well, come to find out, she grew up with some people who were Seventh-day Adventists, and so she was used to going over there on the weekends, and they didn't have TV, and they just sat around, talked, and read the Bible, and did things that we do now. So
she was familiar, yeah, with Seventh-day Adventists,
yes,
and going to church on Saturday. You mentioned that, you know, when you were young, you wondered about Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And so why did you wonder about
Sabbath?
Well,
it was the Ten Commandments. And Baptists are no different than most other denominations. They believed in the Ten Commandments, yet the fourth commandment says go to church on Saturday, and they went on Sunday. And so I had asked my mother, "Why don't we go to church on Saturday?" And she didn't appreciate the question, and we just went on with our day. So I think she thought I was being kind of a smart-mouthed kid, you know. And but it had always been a question with me. So after that series, I understood it.
Let's talk about you've listened. How long did you listen before you started going to church, and what is the rest of the story?
Well, I probably listened to 3/4 of the 24-part series. It got to where every day you knew he was going to talk about something you'd never heard talked about before, and you were going to learn something that you never thought possible, because everything you read was so much symbolism that I didn't understand how it pertained to anything in my life.
And all of a sudden it started making sense.
And all of a sudden there it was, making sense. We started going to church probably 3/4 of the way through that, so we were probably fall, because I started in the spring. So it was probably fall.
So you started listening to Ranger Bill, and folks, some of you have been listening to Strong Tower Radio. You know Ranger Bill was a kid's story. It was, I think, back in the 60s is when it was aired on Moody Radio. And we would play it because most people, whether you're a kid or an adult, you like stories. And Ranger Bill always was a moral story, yes. And we used to air it, but they've taken it off, so we cannot hear it anymore, but they're great stories.
So George Corliss has some part of the story, doesn't
yes.
he?
Oh, yes. We started attending the 13th Street Church, and we'd been there maybe two or three times. Well, you know, we don't know many people there. We knew a couple. I knew Jelaine from a professional relationship, and we were both realtors. But most of the people there I didn't know. All of a sudden, this great big fellow walks up to us one day, and he says, "Hey, how are you guys doing?" And we said, "Good." And he says, "Anybody doing Bible studies with you guys?" And I said, "No." "You want to do Bible studies?" I looked at Kathleen, she looked at me, and she kind of gave me that, "Well, why not" look. And I said, "Sure, when?" And we went through probably, I don't know, 6 months, maybe longer, maybe a year. Joy could probably tell you, because Joy got into the picture later on, and Joy Corliss.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that was, now my wife, she then, she's a little quicker than I am. She got baptized. And I'd already been baptized through the Baptist Church, and they did immersion baptizing, so I felt like I had been properly baptized. And I didn't mean to offend anybody by that, but that's what the Bible says. So anyway, I said that I would like to be more like her. And within, I don't know, 3 months maybe, I went through the class, and then I was baptized. Actually, I did a profession of faith.
Now, Kathleen grew up a Christian also.
Her brother's a minister.
Right. So, and then growing up in a very Christian home, plus then hanging out with friends that were Seventh-day Adventists. I mean, so she knew a lot, maybe more about the Bible than even you did? I don't know. Is that a fair assumption?
She didn't say that. No, she didn't say that at all. She just said that she was familiar with people who were Adventists and some of the things that they did starting at Friday night. And she said it was easy. It was very comfortable. She said it was actually kind of nice because it was family time. And they read the Bible and talked about God, and she said it was kind of a nice environment. She said their home was very nice to be in.
Now, let's kind of come up to the present or the more recent past. How has this transformed your life? You've become more engaged in a local congregation, and how has that progressed?
Well, we were at the 13th Street Church, and Pastor Benson got up in front of the church one Sabbath and said he needed some people, if they would be willing to volunteer, to go up to Mesick and help with the rebuilding of that church as far as getting members and, you know, just going in there as a positive force for Christ. And we mulled it over a little bit, a couple, 3 weeks, and we went up and said we'd been looking to go someplace that needed help. We'd been to the UP and talked to several different pastors in different churches. Nothing really seemed to click. We were in the northern lower. Nothing seemed to click. Well, he said this to us, and we said, yeah, we'd be willing to do that. And so we started attending that church, ended up buying a house up in Mesick, and we're probably no more than like 3 miles from the church now. And so that's how.
So there's people downstate that may not know where Mesick is. There's a state route called M115. It goes through Cadillac, starting from the southeast part of the state, and goes diagonally across. And this is north and west of Cadillac. Was that 20 some odd miles?
About 20 miles from
Cadillac.
About
20 miles. Yeah. And there's something special about getting involved. When you get involved in a positive way, I think that relationships and it becomes deeper, and you're helping other people. When you help other people, that deepens your relationship with God.
Sure. Not only that, but we, every morning at 7 a.m., via Zoom, we have a prayer meeting every morning. And we pray for our community, we pray for our church, and we pray for each other and anybody that we know is ill or recovering from surgery or whatever. That has really tightened us up as a group. It's just, we're very small. We have like 7 or 9 members. And we have 2 people right now whose names I'll keep anonymous who have come into our church and have been attending regularly.
Amen.
And so we know that God's going to work in His way. It's not up to us. We can do what we can do, but He is going to direct people through the Holy Spirit to our church. And that's as we go and we place our faith in Him, it seems to be working out. So,
well, you know, Meseek has a special meaning to the Seventh-day Adventist Church because Howard Meseek is the person Meseek is named after, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist.
Yep.
And so he helped to found it and, you know, found the town and as well as the Seventh-day Adventist Church there.
Yep, still on Main Street and the only church on Main Street, which was one of the requirements.
Yeah. And so you're helping to keep that church alive.
Yes, in
and
fact,
helping it to grow.
In fact, Ellen White actually spoke in that church. They had camp meetings not very far away over in Sherman. So it has a rich history in Adventism.
So, you know, each Saturday, Sabbath, you go to church and you sit in the back row of the church and, and you watch what's going on.
No.
No?
Sorry, that's not the way we do things there. When we have Sabbath school, this is, you're going to come up front, and we make a little semicircle.
And, you have a Bible study?
It's a formal Bible study. We take that lesson book and we take it apart based on what we've researched during the week, and everybody gets an opportunity to read portions from it, to give opinions, to make Bible references. It is a really good study.
So you have a Bible study, and then you go to the formal church service or divine worship?
It depends on when Pastor Benson was here. When he would speak, we had service first, and then Sabbath school. Right now, without a pastor, you know, right now the head elder seems to be doing a lot of the work.
And how many of these? You've got 9 people, so how many head elders do you have?
One.
One?
Which is Mike, yes.
Which is me, yes.
Yes. So you do some sermons.
Yes.
Okay. And so, Mike, I mean, this is 2023, and, you know, you've not been a reborn Christian that long, really.
No.
No. But from listening to what you've talked about and knowing you, you've really studied your Bible. You understand it a whole lot more than you ever did in your whole life.
But I'm not Cam.
Not Cam Ferguson here at Strong Tower.
But Cam Ferguson has been around the Bible a long time.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
What is one of your favorite programs? I know that you had mentioned Ranger Bill, but what are some of the current programs? Bible Answer Live was a very important one.
Still is. Listening to Doug Batchelor and the way he can take the Bible and make it make so much sense, clear up questions as he goes along without a question being asked, because he's been asked those questions for so long. He clarifies things as he goes along. It's a great program. And, you know, I love listening to the music. There's a little bit of a country flair on Sundays that I kind of like.
Actually, it's also on Saturday night, too.
Usually Saturday nights we're wound up in Whitney Phipps or someone else on YouTube with some kind of a sermon that winding out Sabbath.
Yeah, the person you were referring to is Jelaine Fetter and her program.
Strong Tower Radio's Gospel Melodies.
Gospel Melodies, yes.
It has a little country twang.
Yes, it does. A little toe tapping.
Yeah.
Because I always say if you're listening to that music, you're toe tapping, how can you be sad? Makes you feel happy. So, anyways, I did want to mention, though, about your church, Meseek Church. You welcome anybody. It's Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
Church starts at what time?
Well, we start a song service at 8:45. If we're having service first, then it'll be at 9 o'clock. And then as soon as service is over, we have a brief break and then go into Sabbath school. And Sabbath school is supposed to be over about noon, but we've seen the time. It was over at 1:15, and nobody even noticed.
Well, it's a Bible study. That's what Sabbath school is about. It's a Bible study.
Yeah. I love sermons. I'm not going to pretend that I don't, because sermons reach people that might not otherwise be able to be reached. But that Sabbath school is so important, because you learn as you go along just how much Jesus loves us. And that's the whole key. I think right now today, one of the things that's missing in a lot of denominations is proclaiming the love of God. Because without the love of God, what hope do we have? So that's what we try to, if we can, we promote the love of Jesus, because it was through his death that we are here and have such a great hope.
I've had an opportunity to worship with the Misek congregation twice. Once we were at the Mushroom Festival, the Morrell Mushroom Festival, and for Sabbath school, we actually went out and met with different listeners on the street and passed out information about Strong Tower Radio. But the other time I went to speak there, and we had the Sabbath school, and truly, endorse, that was our word for the day, endorse, their Sabbath school study. It was totally enjoyable of 6 to 8 people truly delving deep into the word and seeking from each other what the Lord has spoken to each one of us and what truth is.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, I liked how you said, the love of God, because that's one thing with Strong Tower Radio, with our tagline, where God's character is proclaimed, because some churches put the fear of God, and you're going to burn forever, a hell fire, and that's scary. But I'm not saying that's not true, that if you don't love God, end up, there is a hell.
He's going to judge.
Yes, that's right. But he loves us. He's doing everything he can. And it's all about love. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. It's up to us. We make our own decision if we're going to be with God or we're not going to be with God.
Well, he doesn't send anybody to hell.
Mm.
It's by choice. He gives you every opportunity. He even sent his son to die, so that you would want to come to heaven. And if you go to hell, it's because you chose it. It wasn't because he sent you there because he didn't like you. He loves everybody equally. And that's a message.
Well, it's
that's
real,
hope.
That's right. That's real important, because so many people figure, they've passed that, God, how can God love me? I've done something so terrible, and there's lots of terrible things people can do in this world. But it doesn't matter. If you've killed somebody, we hear a lot about, sexual things now with kids, because it's unheard of to try to wrap your mind around what people do to children. But God can forgive. We just got to surrender to him.
Well, anybody says that it's easy is wrong. Because he said, they hated me, they'll hate you. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Praise God. Man, just think of all the martyrs that there have been that got to do it for God. We have it pretty easy here.
We do. I was thinking, as Jelaine was talking, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever... It's up to the individual. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
But we need to be careful about that word believing, because the Bible also tells us that the devil and his angels believe. They believe in God, but they don't want to surrender to him and do his will.
See, and I find great comfort in the 23rd Psalm, because I can take every sentence of that and demonstrate God's love. Every sentence in that 23rd Psalm, you can break it right down, and each time you can feel his hand in yours as he takes you by the still waters as he lays you in a comfortable place, as he guides you along for his sake. Why for his sake? Because he adopted us. We adopted him. So why shouldn't he take you by the hand? Man, that's a beautiful psalm. I love reciting that psalm in church when it's quiet and everybody's got their attention on God, because it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking, and he just breaks it down and opens people's minds, and it's a beautiful thing.
You can read that with feeling, and it just makes it the impression that much deeper. I've experienced that.
Yep, it's especially when you're in his church.
So, Mike, we just got a minute or two left. What do you want to leave with our listeners?
I hope I've already left something.
Well, anything more? I mean, because you're not a young man. You know, we already
established. No, I'm 73.
Okay. And there's hope.
If anybody that doesn't have hope, come see us. And we're not going to preach at you. We're not going to try to make you become a Seventh-day Adventist. You do what you want to do. This is your choice. It's your road of life. But if you want to come in and find some hope, come on into Mesick. We've got a loving church that would just love to see you come in and offer you some of what we have.
So it's in the town of Mesick,
yep.
Michigan.
Right on the main street.
M115 runs right through Mesick.
And it has a Strong Tower Radio sign on the front.
Yes, it does. Yes, we appreciate that. And 8:45 is when a song service starts. So,
yes.
But
right
sometimes,
now, no pianist, so it's
a cappella?
Well, we have a program on the phone that we hold up to the microphone for
some
music to go with us.
Yep.
But it's okay. We don't mind.
Hey, if you're a pianist, they could use a pianist to come.
Could we ever.
Yeah. Yes. And so, but sometimes it's Sabbath school Bible study first, and sometimes it's church service first.
Yes. So right now it'll probably be service and then Sabbath school.
Okay. And so, folks, we're just thankful that you listen to Strong Tower Radio, and where God's character is proclaimed is changing lives. And so, Mike, we're very glad that you tuned in to listen to you did listen to Strong Tower Radio, but you tuned in to hear Ranger Bill, which is a kids program. But I'll tell you, Tom, we have several programs that people just love to hear those stories.
Amen. And this isn't the only of the program that we'll do in the series. We're looking at other Strong Tower Radio listeners and to bring those to you to see how Strong Tower Radio, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, are showing the way to God.
So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with another Change Life.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.StrongTowerRadio.org, and click on the donate button or call 231-468-2087. We thank you and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Hi, folks. I'm Jolene Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today with my other host,
Tom Majure.
And Tom, we are talking about changed lives today. And this is just wonderful to hear people talk about how they've gotten to know God and how he's changed their life for the better.
You've seen growth. Sometimes people have already known the Lord, but just taking it to the next level, and they're not done yet, because until Jesus comes, they'll continue to grow.
Well, we all will. That's
we
for
all
sure.
will. And it's such a pleasure. The first part of the hour, we talked with Mike Kampner and his changed life. And we have another changed life. This is very special to me, Jeremy Swanson. Jeremy Swanson happens to be married to one of my students from 2005 in one of my former careers. And we'll talk about that later, but they are near and dear. And they're a Strong Tower Radio. Many of their Strong Tower Radio listeners join a congregation after their changed lives. And Jeremy and his wife, Jamie, and his daughter are coming to our church. And so I get to see them most weeks if I'm there at my local church, not on location, speaking at a place. But Jeremy, welcome to Strong Tower Radio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
They're very good. Shalane, why don't you ask him the first question?
Well, before we get started, why don't you have a word of prayer?
Okay. Our Father in heaven, just be with us. Bring to light for the listeners' benefit the stories and the key points that resonate with them of Jeremy's life. Lord, we're rejoicing. The Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we're rejoicing with Jeremy and watching him grow and to be there to assist and to applaud and to encourage him and his family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, Jeremy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, you know, I don't know where you grew up, your life now. If you're, well, Tom already alluded, you are married.
Yes, I am. Well, I grew up in the Reed City, Hersey area. Pretty much been there all my life.
And that's in Michigan?
Yep. Grew up Baptist and kind of was about 15 or so. I felt called to preach.
Amen.
And kind of started, you know, getting through the Bible and studying and all that and got to be probably about 16 or 17, and just kind of got around the wrong type of people, and I don't know if it was, I kind of refer to it as like my Jonah moment. I kind of ran from the call of God. Unfortunately, I didn't get on a ship. I just got into a lot of trouble. Ended up being incarcerated a couple times, just living a normal worldly life.
That's what I was going to say, a typical teenager kind of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, just ran.
But growing up, church was important to you and you felt the call to God, but like you said, Jonah, you kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. It. Yeah, we went church all the time. I was very active. I ran the soundboard during services. Yeah, I just was very, very active. My mom was a junior church director. She did that for as long as I can remember, and she's a choir director. Like we were very involved.
So it was a great foundation that you had.
I'd say, yeah.
So how
you had something to come back to. I mean, you had a foundation.
Yeah.
So how'd your mother feel about, though, your wayward teen years?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure she wasn't too thrilled.
She had different hopes for you.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody did. I mean, I did. I didn't expect the path that I am currently on to be the path that I'm currently on.
You know, it's interesting. Pastor Ron Kelly said that we don't always know our hearts, and we have something that in us that we are sometimes surprised. Not only when you're in your teenage years, your 20s. 40s, 50s, 60s, God still has work on us. So it's not unusual. It's just some are expressed at a higher level and more visible than others.
Yeah, for sure.
So you had those years. Tell us what happened, not going into too much details, but what started changing?
Well, after the roughest parts of my life,
okay.
I started to turn around, met my current wife like 12 or more years ago, but I was friends with her brother. But fast forward through that, when I ended up starting to date my now wife, things were kind of settled a little bit. Life wasn't so crazy. I was building my business. Got fairly successful, so I thought, with that. And around I'd say about 2019, I just felt miserable.
Miserable.
Like,
just a malaise.
Huh? Yeah. Even when I was happy, I wasn't really happy. And
just couldn't get there.
Were you going to church at that time?
Oh, no.
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 Okay, so you and your wife, because you, how long ago did you get married?
Just in May.
Oh, you just got married, but you've been together for a while.
Yeah, we've been together for, I think, going on 5 years now.
Okay. Okay, so, but you guys were not going to church.
No, no. She was also raised Southern Baptist, and she had, for her own reasons, she kind of walked away for a while. I was further away than she was. Like, she always kind of held to her foundation, whereas I completely abandoned everything. I had no desire for God, or I made fun of Christians, honestly, for the longest time.
Did you still believe in God?
I believe there was a God. Okay. I didn't necessarily believe in our God, the true God.
A personal God.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get to the point of becoming an atheist, mm-hmm. but it was hard for me to believe that everything came from nothing. But who created it, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really even want to know. I had no care at all. So 2019, I started questioning my happiness. You know, why I'm making more money than I've ever made, and I'm miserable. I'm drinking every day, basically just escaping from the reality of this empty life.
Let me ask you this question. Was that possibly kind of like a Jonah moment in the belly of the whale? Or maybe is it going too far to say, like the prodigal son waking up and say, I'm miserable. The servants of my father are having a better experience. Maybe I should do something different.
Yeah, it could be. I often refer to myself as the prodigal son. So okay. it's possible that was, you know, my rock bottom. Even though I wasn't in a pig pen, I was making more money than I've ever made. But
psychologically, yeah. Mentally, you were at that low point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But by the world standards, you were living the life. You're, yep. You know, you're in a relationship. You're making more money, drinking. I mean, that the world that this is normal.
Yeah, I definitely had a normal life. But like I said, I couldn't get over the fact that I should be happier, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then kind of 2020 with COVID, that kind of really forced me to take a step back because we basically got shut down. And
how did your business go south also?
It didn't really. I ended up only...
People still needed to open their garage doors, yep, right? Yep.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What is it you do for a living?
I install and repair garage doors and openers.
Okay.
And a lot
when it doesn't work, everybody wants you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and or you get locked in or you get locked out.
Yeah, and I actually do a lot of new construction. And at the time, I was doing a lot of work, the majority of my work in the Grand Rapids area. And there's no shortage of new construction down there. So I actually was only off of work for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
But in the meantime, I decided... because I didn't know how long it was going to last, I decided to start a garden. And I kind of attribute the garden and working with the soil and bringing life out of nothing really helped me search for God.
Explain that. What was it that did that?
Well, if you look back, we all started in a garden. God put us in a garden.
Garden of Eden.
And in the end, in the new earth, we're going to be gardeners again.
Yes.
So I think working with the soil and working with plants and just bringing life from a little tiny seed into something that can feed multiple families, it's
beautiful.
The purest essence of God in working in our hands.
God working through you.
Yeah. And I think that really, looking back at it, At the time, I didn't really think anything of it, but looking back at it, I think that really opened me up to
want more. You found more satisfaction than you did in the alcohol and everything else that you had done.
Yeah, even now, if I could make what I make now in a garden, I would do it in a heartbeat.
So why did you start a garden? It was during COVID.
It was more because I was thinking about doing like some CSAs and stuff and basically selling my produce.
And CSAs are?
Community supported agriculture. And we're basically people pay up front before the start of the year, and the return on their investment is fruit or vegetables.
So basically what happens, I'm just getting the definition out there, these people, maybe you've become proficient in growing, and they haven't, and they said, why don't you do my growing for me? And
yep, basically.
You make an arrangement like this ahead of time, and then you deliver produce.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. But that kind of kickstarted because of COVID. I didn't know how long the shutdown would last. And without working, I'm not making any money. So I was like, well, let's do this and see if I can get an extra income stream coming in. And maybe that will kind of balance it out.
Well, the benefit, you're growing your own food.
Right.
And which is healthier than usually going to the store.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And cheaper.
Yes, and cheaper.
So that kind of, like I said, working with the soil and working in the garden, I believe that kind of kickstarted me into looking for other truths.
So God was working on you.
For sure, for sure. And I didn't know it at the time. And I mean, I'd say from start to finish, which we're never really finished, but from start to finish, it was about probably four years or maybe even more that I didn't notice. But noticeable there where something was not right was probably about 4 years. And that fast forward to February of 2022, just last year. Probably for months leading up to it, like I said, I didn't really know what God was the true God. So I was just kind of praying as best I knew how for God to reveal himself to me and to help me figure out what's going on. You know, why am I not happy? And February of 2022, I had a God moment where just as sure as we're standing here or sitting here talking, I heard, not audibly, but clear as day, your past life is the best you're going to get. With all of the sin and everything, even if you think you're happy with all the money you're making, that's as good as it's going to get. Unless you surrender. And
that was a God moment.
Yeah. So that kind of woke me up and shook me up a little bit. And
where were you at the time?
I was just in my house. Yeah, I was just praying and calling out to God, and he answered.
Now, had you been going to any church?
No, no.
You still were not going to church?
I still hadn't even opened a Bible at this point. Okay. I was kind of just being stubborn and being like, if you want me, you better show me. And he showed me.
Okay, let's hear about what he showed you.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was just clear as day. Your life, as good as you think it is as good as it's ever going to get. And
you're
unless
not happy
you surrender.
With that.
Yeah, and my life up to that point was nothing but pain and heartache and misery, the whole thing was, I mean, I think I cried for probably 2 hours that day.
And you don't cry very often. But
no, no.
Where and, was your wife?
She was there. I actually, once I could stop crying enough to where I could muster words, I ended up talking to her about it.
Because she had no idea what was going on.
No, no. I hadn't even told her anything up to this point. And so I kind of told her everything and that kind of springboarded her, because she has always been a believer, but not really doing what she knows she should have been doing.
Oh, don't we most of us do that?
And so that kind of springboarded her and her self rediscovery and rededication to God. We kind of talked for a little bit, and I cried a lot more, and I was so exhausted from all the crying, I ended up going to sleep. I don't even know what time it was, probably 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock maybe, which I'm a night owl. I do not fall asleep early. And woke up the next day, and I was like, wow, that really happened. And then I just kind of started getting into it from there, and I started reading the Bible. And because I drive a lot for work, I did the audio version. And from February, middle to end of February, I think I finished the entire Bible by, I think it was by June.
Wow.
It might have been even before that.
Because you were listening to it.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. And I drive a lot. So, I mean, I could get through, you know, 2-3 hours of audio Bible in a day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just kind of figuring out a lot of stuff that I didn't realize were actually even in the Bible, you know, growing up.
Probably the first time you'd gone through the whole Bible?
It was the second time actually. Okay. Yep. The first time was when I was a teenager, actually, shortly after I felt called to preach. I felt convicted. I read the whole Bible through in a year, and as I was doing that, I would do Psalms and Proverbs every month as well. So I knew a lot about the Bible, but it was more what I was taught versus what was actually in the Bible.
Okay.
So, because you said you've been doing work down in Grand Rapids, so you do spend a lot of time in a vehicle driving.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Unfortunately.
So what happened in June of 22, bringing us up to the current? You've had this concentration of immersion in the scriptures, then what happened?
Well, a lot of it was just a battle of, you know, what I was taught, you know, traditions, church traditions, things that weren't actually in the Bible, come to find out. So a lot of 2022 was just a shock. I've basically been lied to my whole life.
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because what you read is different than what maybe the church had been teaching you.
Yeah, for sure. Like, completely different in a lot of aspects. And I didn't really know what to do at that point. I was like, are they all liars and false prophets, or are they just as misguided as I was? And then through all of my studying and reading, I was at a job in Baldwin, and I didn't have my normal radio service. So I was flipping through the radio stations.
I hear a story coming here.
And I get to this radio station, and there's a preacher. And he's preaching. I wish I would remember his name, but I cannot remember his name. But he was preaching basically about the love of God and basically confirming all the things that I'm reading on my own. And I was like, this is different. You know, I grew up in church my whole life, and I never felt quite that way when he was speaking. And kind of didn't really think about it, you know, finished working, went on my way, and didn't really think much about it. And later in the week or a couple weeks later, for whatever reason, probably God, start flipping through the stations again. Turns out it was Strong Tower Radio. And I didn't really know much about Adventism or anything about anything. So it was all a shock there. So with the power of the internet, lots of Googling and reading and finding out what people different believe, and continuing to listen to Strong Tower, and through Strong Tower, I found 3ABN and Doug Batchelor, and a lot of the stuff that they're saying are new, but there are also things that are in the Bible that I've been reading on my own.
So it was confirming what you've been reading.
Yeah.
And already knew that that wasn't what you had been taught, so it was different. But then yet you're hearing over the radio what the Bible is saying.
Yeah, yeah. For the first time, really, another person actually
resonating with
and preaching
finding.
Or teaching the actual Bible and not some made up history or whatever of something that's not even in the Bible. And so, like I said, it was just a lot of shock, and it took a long time it took a whole year to figure out, to kind of put the pieces together. But I was getting convicted of all these things, and I knew that I felt convicted to be baptized. I felt convicted because me and my girlfriend at the time, my now wife, we weren't married. We were living together. So all these things I knew needed to change, but I had no idea where to even go, because at this point I still didn't really know anything about Adventism.
You hadn't seen any individuals besides what you heard on the radio and heard on three. So what clicked things? What made that change? What was the next step?
I actually was starting to try and find a church. I just didn't know. I didn't know where to go.
So how did you find a church?
We ended up, me and my wife ended up talking, and she was like, well, she was talking about different churches. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't really care what church I go to as long as they're Sabbath keeping.
Yeah. Okay.
And
that narrowed it down a little bit.
Yeah. But I still didn't really know much about religions in general. True religions in general. So I ended up, I think I got on Facebook and just was kind of looking, because I knew there was a Seventh-day Adventist near me, and kind of looked at some of the videos there and some other churches. And, you know, through Strong Tower, I was hearing messages from, you know, like Ron Kelly and I'm not even going to pronounce his name because I can't, but another good preacher, Adventist preacher. And then I happened to find on Facebook the Cadillac Church, and Pastor Ariel preached a message called Love and Thunder about the Apostle John.
So you watched that on the internet through Facebook.
Yep,
yes.
Yep. And just like the Strong Tower preacher, like, just confirming everything. And I was like, wow, this guy is really on it. Mm-hmm. And I just instantly just kind of felt a connection with him. And over time, just trying to wrestle with myself, almost a year to the date, I found out later in February of 2023, finally went to the Cadillac Church and was so welcomed. And Pastor Ariel, I truly believe he was an answer to prayer, because I was praying to God for, you know, I need somebody, a physical person, not a voice on the radio, to kind of guide me along.
And your wife went along with you?
She didn't the first time. I wanted to do it by myself because I had, besides funerals, I had never been in a church since I was a teenager.
Okay.
So, and I'm 35 now. So I went almost half my life outside of church, and just getting into church was a process. But yeah, ended up finding the Cadillac Church, and since have been baptized and married, and am now a member of the Cadillac Church. And I don't know, besides God and the Bible and Strong Tower Radio, I don't think I'd be here today.
So you have no idea yet where your life is headed, but it is so much better, right?
It's a million times better. Even on my worst days, I'm still perfectly happy and joyful and at peace.
So I have a quick question, because we're going to run out of time here. Is your mother's alive?
Yep.
So what does she think of all this?
She hasn't really said a whole lot. She ended up coming with
to your baptism.
To my baptism. Okay. So we'll see. She's a work in progress.
Yeah. Well, aren't we all? Yeah.
And we're very pleased. It's, you know, we each bring something, and Jeremy and Jamie and his daughter brought a lot to our church, and we are so blessed to have you a part of our congregation.
You know, and Tom, listening to this, you haven't been listening to Strong Tower Radio for, a year?
Yeah,
about?
Probably less than a year.
Yeah. And yet we have people that have been listening for years and finally, you know, make a commitment to God. And so, folks, Jesus is coming soon.
Yes.
Read your Bible. And
follow through on what you're convicted.
Yes, right. You know, get that personal relationship with Jesus. And we just pray that you'd continue to listen to Strong Tower Radio. Thank you for sharing your testimony, how God has changed your life for the better. And then now you're a member of the Cadillac Seventh-day Adventist Church and worship every Sabbath.
Yep.
Well, folks, we just pray that you've been blessed by this program. And Tom, we're going to bring more of these programs.
More changed lives.
Thank you. Bye, folks.
Bye now.
Hi, I'm Mike Kampner. I'll be reading the 23rd Psalm and including some of my own impressions along the way. The Lord is my shepherd. How well He takes care of me. I shall not want. I trust Him with all my needs, and He never fails me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He places me in a quiet and comforting spot and provides my sustenance. He leads me beside the still waters, not some raging torrent with dangerous falls and rapids, but where I can get a cool drink of water. He restoreth my soul. These quiet places He provides to prepare me for any danger ahead. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He has adopted me as His son and leads me to love and worship Him so that I might be more like Him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And this is enough, because I need nothing more but Your presence. Only You, O Lord. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Your rod will stave off any attacks, and Your staff will support me if I'm tired or weak. You provide rest and restoration, and protect me at these times. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I am the guest at Your table, and You lavish Your bounty upon me while keeping my enemies away to protect me from harm. You anoint my head with oil. All of Your mercies, provision, and comfort You freely give. My cup runneth over. So much is Your giving, I cannot contain it. It is impossible to hold Your cup of love for me, and it spills out everywhere. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My trust in You, O God, to lead me and protect me. You have provided all that I need, and You are all that I want. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am but a guest in Your house, which assures me for the remainder of my life here. But one day I will enter Your heavenly home, and there I will live forever with You. Amen.